Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo and J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, a fully independent fourth-generation family office right here in the greater Phoenix area, to give you information you may not find on those other financial shows. We're aware that the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you being here. And if you have access to the YouTube channel, you can see JR mocking everything I said during that entire speech. So thanks for starting us off with that.
Did I make you chuckle, Anthony? You know what? The good thing is I mock everything you say always. So you can meet us in real life, too. Make an appointment. Come in and see us. We're conveniently located at 98th Avenue and Bell Road in beautiful Sun City. It's only supposed to be 115 to 116 degrees today. So yesterday I came in the office. We had an appointment. I'm a hybrid worker. I'm still, you know, COVID. I still work from home sometimes. Sometimes I come in the office. I came in wearing our monogrammed polo shirt and shorts. I knew, you know, the people we were going to see yesterday, I know them. I knew they wouldn't mind. I knew the man that came in yesterday afternoon would be wearing shorts. So the woman gave me a very hard time. And I kind of had to remind her, if you want somebody with a blue shirt, white blue suit, white shirt, red tie, highly polished shoes, maybe financial advisors over at Wells Fargo are more your thing. If you want somebody that cares about you and your money, let me wear shorts. It was 114 degrees when I got out of my car. Anyway, and she's listening. She listens every week, so she'll know I'm giving her a hard time. Moving on today. So, you know, when you say, Anthony, and I don't know if people that listen regularly, if they even pick up on that anymore, but we are a different animal. In a world of Schwab and Edward Jones and a lot of big wirehouse, you know, pressure, quotas, cookie cutter kind of advice, we're a different animal. I mean, fourth generation family practice. I don't know if there are a lot of those around the country. I doubt it. I know when I was new in the job, you know, and I was the third generation, that was kind of rare. We had their last name was Marino. We had the Marino brothers that worked with my father and I. And they were a third generation family practice. So who knows if they have kids that came in the business or not, but it's different. We are veteran owned. I actually was in the military. So, and your brother, Anthony, he's been in the military for, well, he'll hit 20 years soon. And then kind of hoping he comes into business with us. You know, we are fully independent. When people ask, are you a fiduciary? You know, we check all the right boxes. So, but it is different to be family owned, you know. One thing about us, and Sam, you and I talked about it, we think we're different. We're not pushing for thousands of clients. We're pushing for clients that we can help, want our help, and we want them to stay with us forever. I love the fact that I have kids that are clients of my dad's clients. He had kids of his dad's clients. That's really, really kind of cool. You know, I've said it for a long time. My name is on the door. If you want somebody accountable, you can come right to me. So, and you know what? We're still big. That's the other thing too. We have to kind of make sure people know all of the companies, you know, if you're looking at the mutual fund world, I had Fidelity, you know, my biggest mutual fund family was Vanguard. I used to be honest enough to tell people, why would you pay me if you're going to take Dave Ramsey's advice, for example, and buy a good S&P 500, buy a good growth fund and buy and hold. You're not smarter than stock pickers. You're not smarter than the market. So buy a good fund, you know, be diversified. Well, then what the heck are you paying me for? So I would help people. I used to keep prospecti from Vanguard in my office. So yeah, kind of unusual in this world of pressure and quotas. Anyway, and Sam, you brought up the fact that Anthony are different. What did you mean by that?
Well, first off, happy to be back on the show. Last week was my first show produced in some time. I've always been behind the scenes and I'm a loyal subscriber to your podcast. So if anybody's out there listening, you missed part of this show, or if it doesn't fit quite into your schedule just right on the radio, subscribe to the podcast. That way you can listen to every episode on demand. But JR, last week you and I were talking after the show, really just admire what you've done, taken up after your father starting the business, and Anthony's continuing that. And a lot of people out there that I've heard of, you know, working in this industry, they haven't heard from their advisor lately. And when they do, it could be, you know, that guy's headed towards retirement himself in 5 or 10 years. But the family structure that you guys have been able to build, it really passes from one of you to the next. And I think it's great that the two of you are different. You guys complement each other very well. And Anthony's the assets under management specialist, and JR, you're the guy that's been with the business. I mean, you grew up, you know, going to the office with your dad, I'm sure. So I think it's a really special thing you guys have going, and I'm happy to be part of it on the radio.
Nice. And we're happy to have you here. I'm not really positive I like you lying to our listening audience when you say this is the second time. This is the third one and only Sam Davis. You did our show 2 weeks ago, and then last week I was up in Snowflake. So this is actually your third week. And I know time flies when you're having fun. I realize being back with us has to be the biggest pleasure and joy in your life. I get that. So Sam, you moved to Arizona. Come be with us. Did I mention it's only 115, 116 degrees today?
We have a very moderate and reasonable 90 degrees in Atlanta today with a high of 92. So I'll stick with that. But although I do see, I'm looking ahead at the 5-day forecast, we've got a triple digits coming up in the forecast. So it gets hot everywhere. But man, those numbers out there in the valley are unheard of.
Yeah. Well, and you have a little more humidity. We have got to experience that lately, and that really doubles down on miserable. So, well, and that concludes the weather segment of Another Money Show today, brought to you by our local Frank's Honest Auto. Let's move on. So, I do want to tie up one thing. When we talk about Anthony and I being different, I have been in the office for almost 3 decades. I was here when the tech bubble burst. I was here when a plane hit a building, a 9/11. I was here for 2008. I have seen how people react when their money's going down. I've seen people get nervous. Anthony hasn't seen that yet. It's weird because the biggest black swan event since the Great Depression, let me show my black swan in case this makes it to Utah. The biggest black swan event was COVID. And during the month of March of 2020, the major index markets, the 401ks, everything dove. It was a very steep V. Come April 1st, which I think is still April Fool's Day, it starts rebounding. And then it was like it never happened. Then we get through 2021 pretty well unscathed. 2022 was a little rough. I don't know if things ended up around 20% down, but there was a little correction in 2022. Then 2023 and 2024 have been quite nice. Look at the market right now. You know, I make fun of the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is only 30 companies. I've started coining it the Teflon Dow. This thing, you know, again yesterday, S&P 500 records, Dow Jones records, NASDAQ records. It's like insane. When we get a little bit further into the show and we get to my favorite part, which is giving you current events and how they're likely to affect your finances, there's not a lot of good news out there, kids. If we get really, really lucky with the future of this country, we will escape World War III, literally. We will escape election chaos, which could lead to, you know, a revolution or a civil war. It's that serious how polarized and divided we are in this country. You know what? Let's say we get by all these things. Black swan. I have ADD, so whenever Sam puts something on the screen right away, I stop my train of thought completely. Usually I make my way back, though. So a black swan is, and this is from Investopedia, is an unpredictable event that is beyond what is normally expected of a situation and has potentially severe consequences. So, I mean, that's black swan event. Everybody's watching Ukraine, whatever. China might go into Taiwan. You know, we have open borders. I mean, I still think that's a thing. We're going to talk about that for a second today. A black swan event is something we're not really watching. It's you know, the original black swan. Nobody knew there could be such a thing. All swans were white. And then one day, here comes up a swimming, a black swan, and people are like, what the heck is that? So I think even if we come out of this next, you know, from tomorrow through the next year and a half, 2 years, unscathed by World War III, you know, by civil unrest, the chance of a black swan event is extremely, extremely severe. We're overdue. The last good one was COVID. And you know, maybe it'll be the same thing. You know, there's a lot of talk about the bubonic plague, measles, disease X, you know, obviously for this election, because time is of the essence. I think they're going to run with the avian flu, the N1H1563, you know, because the avian flu jumped from a bird to a cow and then from a cow to a human. And they're going to scare us and say it's got 10 to 25% mortality rate. And so, boom, then we have to vote by mail and we have to be in lockdown again. So, you know what, Anthony, Sam, my point that I was making with this, you guys still have to fix a few things to have a good life. You have to fix Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Anthony, you have to change the politics of the nation. We talk over and over about the red and blue, the two-party system, and I'm saying, you know, anybody that comes out green or independent, they just don't have a chance at winning. So the system is what it is. And your thought is people like me, you know, the old idiots that will never change things. Ooh, Sam put the U. Here's my ADD again. Sam at this point is just feeding into it. He's just going to pop random stuff up. So I stop talking.
You don't have to comment on it.
Yes, I do. Sam put up usdebtclock.org. That's one of my favorites. We comment on that at least monthly for 2.5 years. The U.S. national debt that also, Sam and Anthony, you and your cohorts have to fix, $34 trillion. $34,896. So we're really getting close to the $35 trillion. Is that going to be a celebratory number, $35 trillion? Will it be $50 trillion, $100 trillion? My thinking is, who cares? It's just a number. You know, it's going to tip. We have talked a lot in the last year about Saudi Arabia ending the petrodollar for commerce. We've talked about the BRICS nation, you know, nations. There's a lot of them now. They have a big meeting coming up in October. You know, coincidentally, the money market rules are going to change again in this country come October. And, you know, we brought up gates and fees. There's just so much on the table. And my thinking is, when you couple what's right there and already so broken, it's beyond repair, like Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, then you add the likelihood of a black swan event, then you add these current things like World War III. I don't know. I am such a, you know, when you talk about finances, people used to say people that are always optimistic are a perma bull, and people that are always pessimistic are a perma bear. In this job, I look for what I think's coming. I try to manage money into the future without a crystal ball. My whole thing has always been simple. I take care of one person, one couple, one family at a time, honestly, ethically, and I do my due diligence. I was a fiduciary way before the government came in under the Obama administration when they said, you have to put the client's best interest in front of your own. I was like, oh, that's a novel idea. If you're managing somebody's health or their money and you're not doing that, shame on you. And over the years, I mean, I would estimate about 80 to 85% of all the financial plans that I can be a second opinion to, I have questions. I'm not saying these people are all corrupt. You know, 85% are corrupt. There's good and bad reps in every industry. I'm just saying a lot of the work I've seen, and some of it by very educated minds, you know, heavy duty people that are a CPA and an enrolled agent and a juris doctor. I mean, some of it is like, why would you do that? You know, my biggest observation over the years, people have products. They don't have plans. You know, one of the good things about me and Anthony being different, when you need the numbers done, when you need to back test your 401k, how would it perform what you have today? How would it perform looking back at 2008 if we have another 2008? Anthony can do all those things. I used to have to take a business calculator just to help people determine the time value of money. So I'll tell you what, I mean, everything going on right now, you can't be an optimist or a pessimist. You better be a realist, because there's a lot of things on the table. And realistic right now makes me real, real heavy in the pessimist camp. I know, Anthony, you've said over the years you don't like being read to, but I've never really cared. I wanted to read a bit of an article that I find interesting. And I didn't mean to even, this was on the bottom of my pile today, but but I think it fits in nicely with how worried people should start being. You know, our whole motto is we want you prepared, not scared. How do we get you prepared? We have to wake you up. In order to become prepared, I'm sorry to say this, there has to be a certain level of fear. We have to make you scared first, and then you'll prepare. I'm not just talking about buying guns, ammo, gold, silver, food, water, alcohol, tobacco, you know, a tower garden, a water bladder for your tubs, a field toilet. I'm not talking about all that prepper stuff. I'm talking about if you haven't looked at your 401k in a year or two, let me tell you, it's doing pretty good. And I understand, I read the statistics, about 46% of you are not even funding your 401ks anymore, even with a match. So apparently, you know, the economy is not doing as great as I thought it was. Anyway, this article, I'm meaning to read this on purpose to get you a little bit more awake on things. So this is from June 23rd. It's from The Burning Platform. This is going to be far worse than the Great Depression. Financial writer and precious metals broker. If you want to hear negativity, look for precious metals brokers because they want to make sure you get defensive. But I'll tell you what, like Joe Jaquint on the other Salem station on Family Values Radio, who we're in talks with, we think we're going to have him come on the show with Sam's blessing. So his whole thing is he gives you current events. He does research. If what he's telling you is true, perhaps using diversification, moderation, common sense, precious metals may be a good thing for you. If the dollar goes south, you may be happy you were heavy in precious metals. I don't know. I'm not an expert in precious metals. So I'm a big fan of moderation, diversification, and what's right for you. You know, what makes money move? Fear and greed. Those are the two biggest influences in money moving. Right now, I want you to get scared so you potentially look at your statement at least. Make sure you get a hold of your advisor. If you don't have one, make sure you sit down with Anthony for a minute. So anyway, so financial writer and precious metals broker Bill Holter has been documenting all the unpayable debt that has been building up in our financial system like cancer. It's an interesting analogy. The latest black hole of default is coming from a big bank in Japan. I can't say the name, so I'm not even going to try. So Holter lists, he says the list is so long. It could be a banking problem. It could be a derivatives problem. It could be a derivatives problem in the stock market, the bond market. And you could see a failure to deliver in silver. Some type of warfare could crash the system. You could see warfare in Ukraine, Israel, or Taiwan. The system is so unstable at this point. It could be anything that could bring it down. Unpayable debt is not just a U.S. problem. This is all over the world. Central banks are having to issue huge amounts of debt because we are in the exponential decay phase. We are exactly where Richard Russell said we would be 20 years ago. It's inflate or die. And the only way to inflate is to create more money supply. Anthony, you talk about that M1, M2, M3, M whatever all the time. Add to that the $10 trillion in debt that the U.S. government has to roll over by the end of the year. Meanwhile, the U.S. government piles on $1 trillion in new debt every 100 days. What could go wrong? There is no way the system as it is now survives. It's mathematically impossible. So if the mathematically impossible, are they going to blow smoke up until the day it blows up? Are they going to do something to blow it up and then say that our programs and policies were working except for XYZ, this or that or whatever? They have to kick the table over. They cannot allow the table to fall over on its own because then there's going to be finger pointing. To avoid the finger pointing, they have to kick the table over. I'll just read two more lines of this and then I'll move on. Demand for dollars is shrinking at a time when borrowing demand is rising. This is going to be a disaster for America and anyone holding dollars in the future. This is going to be far worse than the Great Depression simply because society itself is far worse. Back in the Great Depression, you had neighbors helping neighbors. Today, you will have neighbors picking on other neighbors like vultures. My apologies for reading something that lengthy, but you know, go ahead and email me at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Give me a call at 623-523-0444 and let me know where this guy is off. Let me know where Bill is not on track. I mean, I have said to Anthony for 6 years now that he's been with me in the practice. I agree with Anthony. There's always been something to worry about. Amen. You know, I've been in a job where I have to watch out for black swan events and pitfalls. You know what? There's never been this many things. And I look forward to reading more from this dude because I have a feeling he has a list somewhere of all the things that can go wrong. We have our 10 pillars. They're big things. You know, I mean, the 10 pillars we have, inflation, you know, it's all big stuff. I'll bet this guy has details and very much reasons why I should buy gold. And again, you know, when I think about how to get under the radar, I don't just think gold and silver. I know that gold was actually seized from the citizens. You know, I mean, I understand that. I understand we're not on the gold standard. I understand all that. So talk to us if you want to know how much is appropriate for you in precious metals. And we will brainstorm with you at no cost or obligation. Sam gave me a little suggestion last week or the week before that I really thought was a good idea. I can't help myself right now, and I think it might get worse and worse until November 5th, and then again until January 20th of 2025. You know, a lot of what we do with money, money depends on what's going on around us. And right now, what's the biggest gorilla in the room? It's not Ukraine and Russia. It's not, you know, the Gaza Strip. When's the last time you heard about Israel? Is that still a thing? It's not the geopolitics. It's the politics. It's the election right now. You know, today, as we record, is the 11th of July. You'll probably hear this on Saturday, lucky 13th of July. You know, so tonight, there's something called a big boy press conference. That's what the White House termed, coined, whatever you want to say. The White House called it a big boy press conference, not somebody trying to slam people. Big boy press conference. It's going to have, the focus is going to be on NATO and what to do about the world, apparently. And my thinking is there's so much fuel on the political fire right now. I'm not sure that we make it to November without things getting really weird. I just don't know. You know, there's talk now that our commander in chief may have Parkinson's disease. You know, we heard for the debate what was wrong. He had jet lag, although he had like a week and a half at home to prepare before the debate. So then they brought up he was overprepared. You know, he had a cold. Apparently he had a cold, but he had jet lag from his travels with NATO, you know, 2 weeks prior. Now we're going to start hearing about Parkinson's. I don't think so. I don't think that Parkinson's will grow legs. The reason being, and I don't know if he has Parkinson's. I think he has cognitive impairment for sure. Parkinson's, I don't know. But the thing is, Parkinson's, why is that getting brought up right now? Just in the last week, is that what we're going to use to make sure he can't run again or doesn't even make it to the election? I don't know. But I know I'm always a subscriber to the too big to fail, you know, too big to fail. And I got to be careful with what I say. I don't want to go too political. I'll just give you this. Everything going on right now is uncertain, and I don't think usually that ends well. You know, Zelensky is here, speaking of Ukraine, on the Hill this week with our buddy Mike Johnson. Zelensky needs more money, more weaponry, more of their version of Social Security for the people. Sam, do you want to hear a quick fun fact about the whole Ukraine thing and Zelensky? So wait till you hear this. Since February of 2022, and I'm not good with math or numbers, but that seems like that's been more than like 2 years now. Since February of 2022, the average money that's gone to Ukraine, $223 million per day. When you break down the billions of dollars that went into that country, that, by the way, could have come here to beef up our Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and make your and Anthony's job easier in the future. The money that could come here for the food insecure, for the growing homeless problem. You sent us an article this week. I don't know if we'll have time to get to it, you know, later. Oregon, and I'll just sum up the article in case we don't get to it. Oregon is talking about basically banning homeless people. They're basically saying that you can be ticketed in Grants Pass, Oregon, through their new anti-camping ordinance. And of course, the politicians, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, you know, they're going to be more vocal. There's a lot of people saying, what is it, illegal now to breathe? It's not their choice to be homeless. Well, you know, here's how to fix the homeless problem. Why don't we, for the next 2.5 years, spend $223 million a day on our homeless problem? Let's build high rises. you know, I would say let's put people in hotels and pay for it, but the hotels are pretty full. You know, we've taken the newcomers. I don't want to get myself off that track, but you know, you're taking care of a lot of people that came here illegally, but you're not taking care of the homeless. So $223 million might go a long way to help them. Anyway, Zelensky's here again as we speak, trying to get more money. You know, have you heard this, Sam? Have you heard of the SAVE Act? It's, let's see here. It is Senate Bill 4292. There was a big vote yesterday on the 10th of July. Here's how it broke down. What the SAVE Act means, it's Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act. And what it is in the upcoming elections, if you're here illegally, can you vote? I can tell you right now, it's already illegal to vote in our election if you're not here legally. That it's illegal. So this, why do the politicians have to have a new act to see if we're going to keep it illegal? We're changing the Constitution at a time where we have to be careful. You know what? I think we're getting close to a break time, but I want to dig a little bit further into this SAVE Act because you need to know about it. You know, will it affect my finances? Of course it will. Everything we talk about here at Another Money Show is going to affect your finances, if not already doing so. So let's do this. Let me take us out to break time. And then when we come back, I want to take another minute on the SAVE Act. And then we'll move on and try to get to some articles, which you know is what I look forward to every week. So if you want to reach out to us, we would value your opinions on our show. We still love our buddy Kevin. Every single week, Kevin has emailed us a lengthy commentary on the show. And it's brilliant. It's beautiful. And I just want him to know he's a loyal listener. And to get that every week makes me so happy. If you just want to comment on one thing we say, reach out, team@anothermoneyshow.com. You know, call us 623-523-0444 or come in and sit down with us. If you want the facts, sit with Anthony. If you want to rant and rave about the end of the world, sit with JR. But do come see us. Thank you so much for being here. As always, we greatly appreciate it. And I love that Anthony's not here. So Anthony took a quick break to answer the door. He was expecting an Amazon package. Is that too much information, Sam? But I will be right back with or without Anthony.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes, economic uncertainty, and how it could all affect your future in retirement? Then tune into Another Money Show to learn how you can protect and grow your hard-earned money. Another Money Show, every Saturday at noon, right here on 960 The Patriot. Protect your hard-earned money today and learn more at anothermoneyshow.com. Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thank you so much for being with us. I know I say it a lot, but you have no idea how much I appreciate it. We are a little tiny fish in a big sea. You know, when I talked earlier about other financial advisors, you know, if you work for one of the big firms, you've got co-op dollars and advertising dollars and client appreciation dinners paid for. It is, you know, our office manager is Anthony's mom. I mean, we are a true family practice. So anything that, you know, when people are supportive of us, we greatly appreciate it. So back to the SAVE Act and back to trying to wrap up politics for the week. So, and, you know, I mean, I could make a political show. I mean, Sam, if you want to hook us up with a different show, I'm ready. I mean, I just think it's so interesting. Anyway, with the SAVE Act, Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, it basically is saying, you know, we got what? I don't know. I mean, it depends what you read. 10, 20 million people have come into this country over the last 3.5, 4 years. And if you are okay with all of them voting, you know, my heartburn with that thought, did they take civics classes? Did they, when you become an American citizen, a U.S. citizen, you have to take a class. You have to raise your hand. You have to do certain things. If you came in over the last few years, did you do that? Are you willing to assimilate to this country? I feel bad for the pressures you left in your own country. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we can dig into why you're here. You know, I heard from our buddy Randy this morning. I haven't talked to him yet about it, so I don't have this vetted or verified. He said the approximate number of military age, like combatant type, you know, newcomers. 4.7 million is the estimate of people here that are willing, ready, able, whatever, to fight. I wonder, are you going to fight with our country against whomever, Russia, China, you know, Black, Red Dawn, whatever, or are you going to fight against us? I mean, is there, you know, the Chinese are buying a bunch of land by military bases. They're flying blimps over the country to take pictures of what they're doing. Oh, I'm sorry, they're weather balloons. I mean, I this stuff with the border scares the you know what out of me. So I don't know if it does other people. Anyway, this SAVE Act, I'll give you the numbers on the big vote yesterday. 216 Republicans, along with five Democrats voted to pass the SAVE Act. 198 Democrats and only Democrats voted against it. Think about how close that vote is. Do you realize out of our elected representatives, our politicians, our officials, almost half, let that sink in, almost half voted to let illegal aliens vote come November 5th. By the way, they don't need the illegal aliens to vote. They just need to get them registered. Then we can go back to 2,000 mules and vote harvesting. We can go back to some shenanigans, mail-in voting only because the avian flu took over. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm turning this into a political show today, but you need to look up that SAVE Act and you need to absorb that information and understand what the people that represent you think. Because as far as I know, a lot of this country still cares about the country and they want it to stay the way it's been. Maybe better it, but not fundamentally transform it per se. So last thing about
Biden. I can't imagine if you went to Spain or Germany or London that you would be able to vote in their elections.
No, you would not.
That's absolutely insane.
It is. And I'm glad you and I are going to agree on something because that's refreshing. So, and you know what? When you look at other countries, when you look at the United Kingdom, when you look at other countries, France, they have a huge immigration issue like we do. You know, I mean, you know, Anthony, 6 years ago, I drug you to one of the classes on the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States and how there's training camps in all 50 states. It was eye opening. You were kind of disenchanted with it. You're like, oh, we're going to pick up
terrorist organizations of all religions. So I wasn't.
Yes, that is true. That is true. No, and that's good too. You know, there's always been something to worry about. Yeah, but there's terrorists in all religions. I like you said that. Maybe there's more to worry about now than we used to. I mean, who exactly is coming in our borders? Everybody's watching the southern border, yet I've understood that our northern border up with the Canadians, that's pretty porous too. And I've heard that some of the people coming through that border are less likely to be from Chile and those sort of things. That's, yeah, a lot more people from China coming in up there, apparently. So one last thing about our president, Parkinson's, I don't know, dementia, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't claim to be one on TV. So apparently also this week, it comes out that he needs to have no events at nighttime anymore. His day has to be wrapped up by 8 o'clock at night. He's 81 years old. He needs more sleep. I'm not touting either presidential candidate right now on the main two sides, but I don't remember Trump ever stopping. It was weird. And I don't care if you say, well, all he did was play golf, whatever. He was the Energizer freaking bunny. So the fact that I have the knowledge that our president just came out this week and said, don't schedule me for anything that ends at 8 o'clock at night. Get a new president that's willing to work 16 hours a day. And the other eight, they're going to eat, sleep, rest, and go to the restroom. So that's all I have to say on that one. Let's move on to more financial. Oh, you know what? No. One more thing on politics, because it has to do with your finances because of people coming to the country and so forth. So here's one for you. On the Alabama, this is AL.com. So this is out of Alabama. Whenever I think about illegal immigration, the first state I think about to get my news is Alabama. So on June 26th, an article came out on AL.com, FBI issues national financial warning. I don't remember hearing this anywhere else. I mean, I'm not even sure how I found this one. So, but just in case you didn't have enough to worry about, here's another one for you. So the Federal Bureau of Investigation has issued a warning over a particular type of financial crime that's linked to Mexican cartels. See, I don't need to worry about the Chinese or the Canadians. I have to worry about the Mexicans. So in an announcement, the agency said it had seen a rise in scams targeting timeshare owners. the primary victims are older Americans, particularly wealthy ones, looking to recoup some of the money spent on their real estate investment. In the last 5 years, upwards of 6,000 victims. That's a lot of people. When you think about something as obscure as a timeshare industry, 6,000 victims have reported more than $300 million in losses to the agencies. So timeshare fraud has low overhead costs and minimal reinvestment, needing only a rental of a small space, telecom setup, English-speaking employees with access to resort database. The lower perceived risk, prosecution, and extradition from timeshare fraud, but easy cash flow that goes directly into Mexican banking system and obfuscates, oh, that's hard for me to say when I'm drunk, I'm not going to try it twice, funds to facilitate money laundering activities. How do timeshare scams work? Timeshare fraudsters do their homework before they target their potential victims, going as far as creating fake documents and impersonating individuals from trustworthy institutions like banks. They then use the high-pressure sales tactics and phony information, such as mimicking legitimate entities, email addresses, and forging official documents to convince the victims that offers regarding their timeshares are real. Couple more things on this. Initial contact is generally made by phone or email with the scammer pretending to be a U.S. or Mexican-based third-party timeshare broker or sales representative. They then urge the owner to exit their timeshare, rent out the property, or invest in share certificates. Fraudsters then press victims to pay upfront fees or taxes to secure the deals. So far, this is a little convoluted. After this phase, fraudsters generally reapproach the victims, posing, this is where it gets interesting, posing as lawyers, trying to help them recoup the money they lost to the scammers and asking for court or legal fees. Scammers don't stop there, however, and they circle back to impersonate government officials who either claim they can recoup some of lost money for a fee, of course, or threaten the person claiming the initial payment was suspicious and the person is being fined or prosecuted. No matter the stage, it's all an effort to separate the victim for their money. So this is border. This is financial. And Anthony, the reason that I find this so interesting, $300 million is a lot. 6,000 people is a lot. But it's brand new from what I can tell. This is a new one. This is not
It's a new play on an old game. We have a client who has since passed, so I don't feel as bad sharing this. But we had a client who lost money to a scam who told us he was contacted by the FBI and the CIA on how to get his money back from his previous scammers, which we told him was also a scam when he told us that he has to pay to help their services to get his money back. It's a very, very obvious scam. Everything you described is everything this client went through. We reached out to Adult Protective Services. We reached out to the police. We reached out to everyone we could to help this man save himself from himself. And they all said he is, you know, he's coherent. It's his money. He can do whatever he wants. And he lost a lot of money going through exactly what you just said. And all you have to do, and if you don't have someone to reach out to ask these questions on if things are legit, reach out to us. You know, I get weird things all the time and I can't tell if they're legitimate or not. So I actually just emailed my tax guy today. I got something that said that a tax professional has enrolled you in electronic federal payment system to make tax deposits, blah, blah, blah. And it gives a call, all kinds of information. I don't know if he signed me up for this. I don't know if it's legit. You know what I didn't do? I didn't reach out to these links. I didn't click on any of these buttons. I reached out to my tax guy. I said, hey, is this something you signed me up for? And I'm waiting to hear back. But it's as simple as that. If something sounds fishy, reach out. Use somebody else as a sounding board. But so many people jump to, I need to respond to this. I need to act now. And there's so many scams. My uncle's reached out to me recently about someone trying to make investments, and she's made investments from a friend, and you know, it's a pretty girl on the other end of that phone. I was like, it could be me on the other end of that phone. You have no idea who that person is. I was like, it's a very obvious scam. And he's convinced that he knows it's a scam and he's just messing with them. I was like, stop. You need to stop interacting with, you need to block the numbers because it's only going to get worse and only get more convincing.
But do me a favor. When you get him to block the numbers, the one from me, I really do need a Google Play card. So don't block that one.
Perfect.
Thank you. No, this is crazy. We have a friend named Malia, and we try to help people be a sounding board. Come in, show us what you've got. We're not going to try to sell you something. If it's above our head, we've got a basically like a patient advocate for seniors that are abused. And she's wonderful. She knows how to help people. So we have resources for you.
It's a 501c3. You know, it's official now. But yeah, she's been a great resource for our clients for, you know, there's only so much we can do on a day to day to help people. You know, we're more higher level, but she gets down in the weeds to looking up individual statements and monthly ins and outs. And she's wonderful. So,
yep. And we have tested her. We have tested how wonderful she is with clients, and she's been a godsend to us. So thank you, Malia. So moving back to our regularly scheduled broadcast, you know, we got to just touch a hair on the banks. We have so much to get to. So let's do it kind of quickly. The banks are still in trouble, kids. The stress test, there wouldn't be a need for a stress test if there was nothing wrong. You know, we make sure we tell you all the time, make your way to www.fdic.gov. Do not take our word for this. Your money. Checking, savings, CDs, all that wonderful stuff. It's there because it's liquid and safe. Let me focus in on the word safe. There is 1.17, I'm told, percent of insurance on your money through the FDIC. So act accordingly. Less than 2% of your money will be rebated to you, refunded to you, given back to you if we have a modern day run on the banks, which is simmering and brewing, and we've been in one for 2 years. We don't think it's over yet, kids. So make sure you understand. And we do have options. Last week, Anthony said we it's limited. You know, you do need money in the bank for your bills, for your mortgage, for your insurance. You need to have some cash at home. You need to have some of our 1 year. We can ladder you out with insurance companies as short as 1 year. So we do have some solutions, but the banks are still in trouble. We told you when the show was new to make sure you understand what is said in executive order 14067. There's still time, 2.5 years later, to read that. FedNow. We talked over the years about FedNow. FedNow is a crock of you-know-what. You know how I know that for sure? FedNow is just waiting for the central bank digital currency switch to flip. I deposited a check. Anthony, you know what I'm talking about. This was on Tuesday. I brought a check to my bank on Tuesday, and I asked if there's going to be a hold on it. They said no, and I said, great. And then on Wednesday, do I have this wrong? Today's Thursday. Yeah, so on Wednesday, the following day, I went back to the bank to get a little bit of cash. And as I went to get cash, the woman said something about the check. She said, there, you know, no, you can't have it yet. You have to wait. And I was like, well, wait a minute. I deposited yesterday. I was told there was no hold. I didn't get one of those little slips that says you have like whatever 500 available today and then 2000 tomorrow. And I said that what you're saying doesn't make sense. She said, well, the check was for more money than you had in that existing account. So we basically, until it clears, it's still, there's a hold on. It's a given. We can't give you that money. We can give you up to what you had in the account, but we can't give you over that. And I was like, well, okay, I wish somebody told me that yesterday, A. And B, and I didn't go down this road, what the hell happened to instant payments, instant money, instant verification of funds from other financial institutions? Why can't I have my money? And then where it went south a little bit for me, and I like this bank. I mean, believe me, I'm not going to get off the track on PNC Bank, which I finally got all the way away from a couple weeks ago. This bank I actually still enjoy dealing with. So anyway, so FedNow is you can't have your money. The other thing about this, then the teller, who I'm sure is a very nice woman, asked me what I'm going to do with the money. Sorry, kids, none of your business. The honest answer is my money. If I have the money, I should be able to have it. That's not really what's going on nowadays. There's a bail-in going on. Oh, by the way, If you haven't heard us say that term before, please jot down the term bail in. Two words, B-A-I-L, second word, I-N. Familiarize yourself. You know, we've actually had it in this country. We've had it going on for years now. If you ask for $5,000 because you have $15,000 in the bank and they only give you three without you making an appointment or going to a separate branch, that's holding your money hostage. That's a bail in. You know, we had it in the city of Detroit when Detroit filed bankruptcy. There was a lot of disruption and things like banking, city workers, so forth. You know, Cyprus. We've seen some of that in, you know, Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil. Greece was the most famous example, but we're not out of the woods with the banks. Something interesting is going on with the banks. Chase Bank. And let me backtrack for a second. Do you remember when I guess it was under the Biden administration, they said they're going to cap off fees that the banks can charge? You remember that, Anthony? We talked about that a while back. They're capping off the overdraft and late fee, or I'm sorry, overdraft fee at $3 and the late fee at $8. In preparation for that coming into place, Chase Bank, the big dog, so that means other banks will follow suit, obviously. Chase Bank is saying we are basically going to implement or raise fees on roughly 86 million customers. And that is a reaction to the government's, you know, getting involved. You know, and I won't get started on this, but yes, I believe in capitalism. Anthony, if they want to charge $50 for a late fee, charge $50. If I don't like it, PNC, I'm not looking at you.
Their excuse is they're going to lose out on profits and revenue.
Baloney.
Off of people that already don't have money. So they're going to make money. They're upset that they're making money, or they're going to lose making money off people who already don't have money. So they're going to take away free checking, but you can't pay for anything in cash anymore. So we're forced into a bank, which is going to not only not pay you interest, but is now going to charge you for losing interest to you.
It's insane. I've said it. I don't know how to simplify this country financially any more than I do. The rich are getting richer. The poor hover, and the middle class are shrinking on steroids. The big mega bank of the globe, JP Morgan Chase, leading the way to cheat the lower class, lower middle class. I don't know. It's just, here we go again. I mean, to me, it's like, will people get upset?
They don't need to take away free checking and
they
savings.
They do not. They use your money
as an excuse. Just like they use as an excuse when you talk about raising wages. Like, oh, we can't raise wages because they're just going to jack up prices. They're going to jack up prices anyways.
Unfortunately, that is probably true. And I know with the fractional, you know, reserve banking system that we're in, you know, when there's a zero reserve requirement right now, and there has been for over 4 years, I mean, I can tell you, they're making some money over there at the old JP Morgan Chase. You know, if you look at mortgage-backed securities, derivatives, you know, mortgages, reverse mortgages, business loans, credit cards, they're making some money over there, you know. So anyway, I don't feel bad for Chase. You know who I feel bad for? Costco. Costco is under fire this week for raising their membership. Apparently it's like the first time in 7 years. You know, the thing, if they haven't raised
like $50 a year or something like that.
It's currently 60. It's currently 60 and it's going to 65. I have two thoughts on that. And Sam's Club did it in October of 22. They went from $45 to 50 on the plus membership. They went from 100 to 110. Costco is going from 60 to 65 on September 1st, and their executive membership is going from 120 to 130. The two thoughts I have: if you don't like it, end your membership at the end of your term and get the heck out and move over to Sam's or go to, you know, or start just shopping the sale ads. I don't know. The second thing is Costco. If this is going to protect the consumer from raising all of the items in the store and you're trying to help people, good on you. If it's corporate greed, bad on you. Apparently, this is from what I read here, in 2023, Costco made $4.6 billion from membership fees alone. $4.6 just to let me walk in the door and save money on a $200 pack of hot dogs. So the one thing that does give me a little heartburn, the credit card debt is getting out of line. The default's going up. There's a lot of problems for the middle class and under. Right now, the optics are a little bad. You know, APS, SRP, Cox Communications, I don't care what, you know, what you're paying for every month. you know, Verizon. Everywhere you turn, it's going up. So Costco, if you can help people, maybe hold off on this. Maybe hold off
until this is to help people. I don't know. This is the only one I'm not actually that worried about. Less than 10%. They haven't raised it in, what, 7 years, and it's still insanely affordable. But
and it's
still
possible. I know. And I look at it like a cover charge. If you don't want to pay the cover charge, don't go into the bar. So moving on a little bit from Costco and Sam's. So did you hear, Anthony, that the senators are back at it, trying to make a ban on insider trading and stock trading? Do you hear about that?
Yeah, so it passed the House a while back, right? Now it's in the Senate. Did it pass in the Senate, or it's coming up for vote?
This is the new one. This is the newest one. So and if you want to... No, this is a new one, but this one, it looks like it has a little more teeth to it. So according to Zero Hedge on the 10th of July, senators strike deal to ban stock trading by members of Congress. A bipartisan, I always like that word, group of senators, including Josh Hawley, on Wednesday came to an agreement on a renewed effort to ban members of Congress from trading stock. Let me just read the highlights. I won't bore you with all this. Congress should not be here to make a buck, Hawley said during an interview Wednesday. Says here, there's no reason why members of Congress ought to be profiting off the information that only they get. The group's proposal will be the first to actually receive formal consideration by a Senate committee, the Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee, on July 24th. The effort, an amendment to existing stock trading ban, which has no teeth, would immediately forbid members of Congress, the president and the vice president, from purchasing stocks and other covered investments, and would give lawmakers 90 days, I love this, to liquidate their current stocks. If passed, the bill would also prohibit lawmakers' spouses and dependent children from trading stocks beginning March 2027. By the way, this is what? This is around July 24. Okay, so we're going to wait about 3 years and implement this. Give me a break. Make it start next Wednesday, you idiots. If you pass it on August 1st, make it start on August 2nd. Stop this playing games. So, also stating this year that the U.S. president, vice president, and all members of Congress would have to divest from any covered investments. Okay, that's fair to me. Penalties for violating the ban would be the greater amount of either their monthly salary or 10% of the value of each covered asset. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Oh, I do want to read one more line of this. In 2021, Ossoff introduced a ban and put his own stock portfolio in a blind trust to lead by example. The effort gained traction following revelations that several senators had made very profitable trades in as the COVID-19 pandemic unfolded, when members of Congress were receiving classified briefings warning how disastrous the virus could be for the U.S. economy. Several inside trading investigations were launched by the FBI, but surprise, no criminal charges resulted. Then in 2022, the effort gained more steam after notorious insider trader Nancy Pelosi voiced her opposition, labeling it as a misguided effort to prevent lawmakers from participating in the free market economy. Miss NVIDIA, the poster child of NVIDIA. Oh my gosh, we're getting low on time. We can either drop this, do your own research, but what a haves versus the have-nots representation this whole thing is. Your elected officials are cheating you all, just so you know.
Of course they are. So anyways, That's it for today's show. If you like what you heard, have questions about any of the topics today, or want to sit down with us to review your personal situation, you can reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. Find us on YouTube. Find us wherever you like and subscribe to other podcasts. You listen to past episodes of Another Money Show. Remember, if you want to sit with us, there are no minimums. There's no cost for appointments. There's nothing to lose by getting a second opinion on your financial situation. We'll see you again next Saturday at noon right here on 960 The Patriot.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results.
At Rochford & Associates, we know the road to financial freedom is not a straight path, and the journey is different for every family. And in times like these, we want you to feel confident that you're safely on track to meet your retirement goals.
We want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. We want you to prepare for bank volatility. We want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan.
Our team can help you make the most of your hard-earned savings using strategies that are right for you.
I want more people to sit down with us. When we talk about a financial plan, it's different for every person we meet. We tailor make our plans.
Schedule your no obligation consultation today by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. Rochford and Associates, veteran owned and proud to serve Americans like you.